Let us pray over the offering. Father in heaven, we bring our offerings to you, but a portion of what you have given to us. Oh, Father, multiply it and show us where you want it to be used, in the church, in the community, and abroad. Help us to give with glad hearts open to your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing the children's song. Is there anyone who's doing the children's story today? No? I can do it. We're not going to go without a children's story.
Come on, children.
Okay, who knows a character from the film Toy Story called Buzz Lightyear? Yeah, because James is favorite character. So what does Buzz Lightyear say to? Really? You don't know what he says to infinity and beyond, right? Oh, how come I know this and you don't? To infinity and beyond. I mean, he doesn't even have to say beyond, because infinity goes on and on, right? Well, you know what's cool, what it says in the Bible? It says in the Bible that God's love is from earth to heaven, like all the way to heaven and beyond. And it also says that he loves us from everlasting to everlasting. He loves us that so much, from everlasting to everlasting. So that's like to infinity and beyond. And so when you watch Toy Story and you hear Buzz Lightyear saying to infinity and beyond, just crack a smile and think, that's how much my Jesus and my God loves me. Okay? Do you like that one?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, children, I'm just going to say a little prayer with you. Do you want to repeat the prayer after me? You want to repeat it? Okay. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for loving us so much that it's to infinity and beyond, as high as the heavens, and everlasting. And we thank you for your son, Jesus.
Thank you for taking Sean up to the Lord.
Okay, yes. Bless that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So the children can go down for Sunday school.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you've done. I've reminded so much of your holy word. Your 23rd Psalm rings through my ears of, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want, and you will lead us beside still waters and green pastures. I think about the 91st Psalm where they say that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that you will stretch forth your wing, and under your shadow we shall be protected. In truth, will be their shield and buckler. And I speak your word over all of us now. Help us to remind you that you're always there. As Tammy was saying, to infinity and beyond. I want to thank you for all the people that are here today, and for those that are given a good, long, needed rest. Keith Daly and Keith Crawford. Others with their chairs that aren't with us today. Bless and take care of them on their journey, Lord. Even though they're not in church, help them to see your works and feel you in their hearts. I pray for those that are constantly on our prayer list of needs. David, Nora, Gordon. It's so great to see Barb here with her loved ones. praise your holy name, for God is good to see God with us. I'm praying for Al Moore, who may be still struggling with his hip, and for the recovery of Avis and others that have gone through it, and for other aches and pains. I pray also for the celebration of birthdays and anniversaries. I was just wondering how long Tom and Daisy have been married. Congratulations on their anniversary. So many things flow through my heart, and even as I was getting ready to come to church today, I was reminded, as I read my devotional of Job, many a times I felt the book long and tiresome to how they repeat things, but the message was long and true and clear. And one section that you put upon my heart that I hope that others perhaps may be struggling with this, that I would love to kneel before you, Lord, and know that my heart will never convict me, and that I will have no regrets. And I cling to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, for our sins, past, present, and future. But I also cling to the fact that we are a work in progress, and of the patience of Job, nowhere near that. What an exceptional man he was. Of all the temptations he got through, he never denied you, never gave up hope. And I pray that hope and that patience for everyone here today. Many years ago, coming out of the 80s, I was always in a hurry. I always feel that it was sort of like a Jack Russell running around trying to get things done. I always had a lot of energy. And one thing I'm constantly reminded of is how Jesus seemed to get things done, but he didn't seem to be in a rush. I'm constantly reminded of my father saying, "Why wait for spring when you can do it now?" Where I feel so overloaded with deeds and tasks, and I feel that others must be like that today. I'm so thankful that Tammy and Becky and others could come and run this service so that we can bless you, Lord, while others are on vacation. Put upon the heart whatever it is that everyone here feels that they need. Help them to feel your presence, Heavenly Lord. And I want to sit here quietly that you can hear their cries and hear their petitions before you, Lord. You say when two or more are gathered together in you, Heavenly Father, that you will be amongst us, and I feel your presence, and I pray that for everyone here, and for all the loved ones that we yearn for, and pray for, and care for. And again, I'm constantly reminded of Job. Give me the patience. Give me to be more like Jesus. Help me every day to become more like him. I'm constantly reminded of how I run around to try to get as many things done in the day as I can, just to look in the mirror and say, I got it done. Or I know that if I get so many things done in that manner, they are done in haste. They are done without any planning and preparation. And they're done probably not to the best of my ability, but I can at least say that they're done. Help in my prayer life and help in our prayer life and our spiritual life growing not to be that way. Help when we actually put aside time for devotion, that we're not rushing just to say we got it done. Help us to actually not just do all the talking, but to listen to you, Lord. Help us to have the patience of Job. Help us to learn to be more like Jesus. And I pray in his wonderful holy name will result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for welcoming me here this morning. I have just been so excited to be in the Lord of the House, the Lord's house today. And thank you for Tammy and for Becca for leading us so wonderfully in this service this morning. It is truly good to be in the Lord's house today. I have actually been an intern at Uxbridge Baptist Church recently, and this is how I've gotten to know Pastor Keith. And his family has some roots in Uxbridge Baptist Church, and so he invited me to be here on this day. So it's wonderful to be here. Our readings this morning from God's Holy Word are from Matthew 22 and 1 John. And if you would join me in turning to beginning with Matthew 22 in your Bible that I've picked up in the pew in the Good News Bible. This is on page 33 of the New Testament. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments." And turning over to 1 John 3 and 16. And that's on page 300 of the Good News Bible. 1 John 3 and 16 says this: "This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his love for us. We too, then, ought to give our lives for our brothers." This is the word of the Lord. You know, I've been thinking a lot about love lately. So when you hear me say that, maybe that makes you think of two things. Maybe you're thinking, when he says he's been thinking about love, maybe he's fallen into love. Or maybe he's falling out of love. Falling into love. Falling out of love. We've all kind of experienced that in some form, haven't we? Falling into love, falling out of love. But it's funny the wording we use, isn't it? Falling. I don't know about you, but when I think of falling, I tend to think of something that's risky, dangerous, maybe even life-threatening. And yet we use this word, falling, falling into love. Now, depending on what you think of love, maybe the language fits. I don't know what you wonder. Do we have any happily married couples with us this morning? Any happily married couples? All you gentlemen, you know, get your hands up there. Go on. So you know a lot about love, I'm sure, because you just said you're a happily married couple. But wouldn't you agree that love at times can be risky? That love can be dangerous? Maybe you might even whisper, love can be life-threatening? I don't know. Because haven't we been truly broken and hurt to the deepest part of ourselves because we've lost something that we have loved? We've lost someone that we have truly loved. And yet Jesus tells us so clearly, love. I just read the passage. Jesus says to us, love God and love others. Love God, love others. Love. But why love? Isn't this risky? Isn't love dangerous at times? Aren't we just setting ourselves up to get hurt if we really want to try to love others? To love our neighbor as ourself? Is it actually possible to love our neighbor as ourself? Well, today we're going to look at these questions. You know, I just admitted to you I've been thinking about love lately. Well, let me tell you the real reason. I've been thinking about love lately because my brother just was married a few weekends ago, and I had the privilege to speak at his wedding ceremony. And he asked, when he asked me to speak, he gave me a topic and he gave me a text, and as you imagine, it was talking about love. And I stood alongside my brother. He was all dressed up, looking pretty good, and he was smiling, and there was his beautiful bride right beside him. And we stood underneath a little white arch, surrounded by guests on white lawn chairs. You know the scene. And I echoed the advice that others have put so well. This is what I said. I said, in order to stay in love, make love a verb. In order to stay in love, make love a verb. You know, falling in love starts as a noun. It just happens. It's easy. You know, falling in love that's a noun is just butterflies and glassy eyes and a little light side. But in order to stay in love, they need to make love a verb. They need to remember the simple things I told them. Like opening the door for each other. You first. No, you first. No, you first. You know, my dad gets this one really well. It wasn't until recently that I found out that every time he walks around the car and unlocks the door and opens the door for my mother, that he gets a kiss. I guess I just never ever saw this happen. Or maybe they just do it when there aren't any children around. But apparently, this is, my mom confirmed it. Every time that she wants to get into the car and they're out somewhere, he walks around, unlocks it, opens it for her, he gets a kiss. And do you know what? I've always wondered, and now I know, he has never owned a car with power locks. He's just happy to walk around and open that door for her. So he understands that the little things count. So make love a verb is what I told the bride and groom. But amongst that crowd of smiling guests, some of them kind of teary-eyed, it was easy to talk about love. It was easy to say things like, love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Don't you love those words? We love hearing those words at a wedding. And on that beautiful sunny day, underneath that white arch, with those guests sitting around on the white lawn chairs, the bride and the groom then got up to speak. And they said some things about love. They said some pretty risky things about love when you think about it. Because in front of friends and family, parents, uncles and aunts, grandparents, cousins, the bride and the groom committed to loving each other. They made vows before each other and before God, saying what they would promise to do in their life together. And listen to some of what they said. I thought they did a pretty good job at it, so listen to what they said. If you want to take a few notes, you know, gentlemen, you need like a little love card for your significant other. Just listen to this. They said to each other, I love you for all that you are, for all that you have been, and all that you're yet to be. It's not bad. They also said, everything that is me was yours long before this day, and will be yours long after. You have shown me how to love openly and honestly, and I continue to fall in love with you more and more every single day. I promise to give you all of me. I promise to be the Dick Van Dyke to your Mary Tyler Moore. Some of you got that. I promise to be faithful to you every day of my life. I love you. So those are some wedding vows. We've heard them before. And as I was listening to them say their wedding vows to each other, I looked out amongst the crowd and they were hanging on to every word. You know, the necks were strained, people were listening to these words. Well, I'm sure the crowd around Jesus, the day that he spoke his words about love, were hanging on to every word that he was saying as well. But when Jesus spoke about love, He wasn't surrounded by smiling-eyed, smiling, teary-eyed wedding guests. In fact, Jesus wasn't anywhere close to a wedding when he spoke about love. This day wasn't a celebration at all. You know, I'm trying to imagine what the day would be like, and I almost wonder if it would be something more like, well, something like a kind of a messy presidential leaders debate. You know, the kind of debates where people get thrown together and they're trying to talk over each other, trying to get their argument across. Voices are raised, tempers flare. Except on this day, there's not four or five candidates. On this day, there's one person. And the whole crowd is against him. They're closing in on him, heckling him, pushing him. And this crowd is powerful. This crowd, I can't help but imagine them as kind of the bright colored tie business executive who's standing before them. A crowd full of CEOs and lawyers, accountants. This crowd is smart, well-educated, and powerful. This crowd is well-groomed and well-dressed. They filled the parking lot beside the synagogue with their BMWs and their Land Rovers and their Lexuses. So can you imagine what it was like to be there that day? To be in that crowd? Tension in the air, all eyes turned to you, all ears straining to hear your response. And as one of the lawyers steps forward, he asks Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" You know, it's too bad we couldn't be there to hear his voice. I almost wonder if there's some sarcasm in it, because it's such a simple answer. Such a simple question. It's almost a Sunday school question. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers him. And he says, love God, love others. He tells this crowd to love. This isn't a wedding. This is more like prime time, CNN, cameras rolling, this is your opportunity, Jesus. Give them the 45-minute sermon. And he just says, love God, love others. That's it. That's all they get. When I was in high school, I used to volunteer at our local hospital. And on Friday afternoons, after school was done, I'd head in for a few hours at the hospital, and I'd do things like file the x-rays and feed patients muffins and juice. I always loved muffins and juice. And restock linen cabinets and things like that. And as part of my time volunteering at the hospital, I had the opportunity to observe in some different departments. And on one day, I got to observe in the microbiology lab. And the first thing that you learn when you're welcomed into a microbiology lab is that you need to be very careful with what you touch. You need to put on gloves. You need to put on a mask. You need to put on proper clothing. There's some things that they said just don't go near them. And during the time that I was there, a supervisor came by. And the supervisor was asking all the different staff, how can we improve your safety? What can we do here to make things safer for you so that you don't get sick from dealing with the diseases that are in this place? And most of the staff, as I listened to the supervisor go around, most of the staff were saying things like, we should upgrade our filtration system. We should buy better quality masks. We should do this. We should do that. And then I'll never forget the response of the head of the department. Because the head of the department spoke up and said, all we need to do to improve our safety is to enforce proper hand washing. That's it. No new equipment, No extensive protocols, just reinforce the basics. Because she reminded everyone that the way we generally get sick is through contact with things on our hands. And so hand washing is the most important thing to keeping the staff safe. Reinforce the basics. You know, Jesus was good at reinforcing the basics. You know, sometimes I think we can make Christianity difficult for ourselves. Because even when we hear things like this, and when Jesus says, love God, love others, sometimes we say, can it really be that simple? You know we have freedom from the law, but sometimes we're happy to make laws of our own. And as a result, we sometimes make it hard on ourselves to love others. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we're quick to add to our spiritual shopping lists, just like the other lab assistants were. You know, I can sit down and say, well, what should I be doing? Well, maybe I should buy a newer translation of the Bible, something that someone, you know, has recommended. Maybe I should go to a conference. Maybe I need to start listening to a more interesting pastor. And although these are all good things, Jesus reminds us that first and foremost, we are meant to love. Many other things are important. But Jesus says, the Christian walk begins with and is sustained by love. He says, love God, love others, make love a verb. You know, as I conclude today, what I want to remind us is that if we are following Jesus, we are uniquely free to love. You know, those of us who are following Jesus have been free to love in a very special way. Because we know God, we are free to love others. We are free to reflect God's love onto others. So maybe that answers the why and the how I asked earlier. Why love and how? Well, we love because God first loved us. That's what John writes in his letter. He says the only way we have actually come to know what love is because Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. Now, I need not likely remind us, though, that living a life of love is not always easy. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. In fact, I think living a life of love is maybe one of the greatest challenges of our lives. Because loving others is risky. One author writes that to be loved by God is to be forced to know ourselves truthfully. To be loved by God is to be forced to know ourselves truthfully. Now, these are some deep truths, and sometimes they don't always sink in easily. But I think it's worth spending some time thinking about and exploring. And a really great place to start is 1 John. So just like I told the group of smiling wedding guests, in order to love, make love a verb. This is how God demonstrated his love for us on the cross and how he continues to do so today. You know, just like Tammy was saying, God loves us more than we can imagine, to infinity and beyond. So we can love God, and we can love others, because God first loved us. Make love a verb this week. It might be an adventure, but try it out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Will you join me in bowing your hearts and heads in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and all that it means for us. Lord, in this day and this week ahead, we ask that you would help us to live a life of love. Lord, help us to be able to learn how to love you and how to love others. Help us to make love a verb. Lord, you know our hurts, and we ask that you would carry us through them. We ask that you would carry us through, not only through them, but beyond them, that we might love and walk in love. Show us how to make love a verb this week, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus.
Thank you for being here today. We trust that you have experienced God's blessing as you have been here in the house of the Lord. As you go now, may you go with God's blessing. May you go knowing that God is love and that we can love because he first loved us. May you go now in peace.